It's 6:20. This is KERA News. I'm Justin Martin. The U.S. Justice Department plans to place election monitors tomorrow in three Texas counties, including Dallas County. The announcement comes after civil rights advocates in Texas expressed concerns about poll workers across the state sharing inaccurate details about the state's voter ID law. Election monitors will also be sent to Harris and Waller counties. U.S. Attorney General Loretta Lynch says lawyers from the Civil Rights Division's voting section will also staff a hotline tomorrow.
And as the American people prepare to go to the polls, I want them to know that we stand ready to ensure that every voter can cast his or her ballot free of unlawful intimidation, discrimination, or obstruction.
The Civil Rights Division plans to deploy more than 500 workers in 28 states to monitor the polls on Election Day. Polls open tomorrow at 7 a.m. For the past couple of weeks, we've been talking to North Texas voters about their thoughts on Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton, as well as on voting, their futures, and the issues that matter to them. KERA's Stephanie Kuo revisits some of those voices.
My name is Leslie Sandigo. I'm 22 years old, and I'm a student at University of North Texas. My dad is from Nicaragua, and my mom is from Mexico. I know that Trump doesn't really like immigrants, and my family were immigrants, and now they became residents, and then they became citizens. And so I think it's just really important for me to stand up for my people.
My name is Catherine Dykin, and I'm from Plano, Texas. I voted for Donald Trump. We really have to turn this country around. We got to get back to where we were, following the laws, and getting out of debt, and maintaining the budget. It's going to be really, really crucial.
I'm Frank Hofstetler, a World War II veteran. I was born in 1920. My first vote was for Roosevelt. My second was Obama, and he was the first black man ever to run and win. And right now I'm saying that Hillary will be the first woman. I think she will be the winner.
My name is Brian Barnes, and I'm from Plano. I voted straight Republican ticket. I know that's going to sound shocking, but I think especially being a black American, this is something that my family has always taught us that we need to take seriously. No matter how the election turns out, I did my part and voted on what I believed was important. So I want to teach my kids the same thing.
Hello, my name is Angel Escobar, and I live in Garland, and I'm 18. Yeah, I encourage anybody who can to vote because it's really important for our future in general, because we're like the next generation to help build up this country. Hopefully we really look into immigration reforms, more treaties with other countries, more peaceful future for us.
My name is Ali Biddle. I'm 24 years old. I live in Denton, Texas, and I used to be a UNT student.
Well, I think voting is extremely important because you can help campaign and things like that. You can help volunteer. You can write on Facebook. But the truth is that voting is, it's one of the only things you can do. I don't really know how you can argue that you shouldn't vote. It's just kind of lazy, I think.
To learn more about voting in North Texas, visit keranews.org, where we have a map of polling locations as well as a listing of issues and races on the ballot. And tune in tomorrow night starting at 7 for special election coverage here on KERA Radio and KERA TV. We'll also have coverage online at keranews.org. And you can join in on the conversation, too, on social media. Use the hashtag TXDecides. More than 10 million Hispanics live in Texas, but in many parts of the state, elected officials don't reflect that diversity. There are efforts underway to not just encourage Hispanics to run for office, but to give them the tools they need to be successful. KERA's Gus Contreras reports on one training program to develop Hispanic leaders here in North Texas.
When Claudia Sandoval first thought about running for office, she figured she'd just hand out flyers and talk with residents. Then, she enrolled in a leadership academy. And that's when she faced reality. Sandoval learned she'd have to hold fundraising events, and she'd have to come up with a plan about how to communicate with voters.
Typically, we don't come from families who've been involved in politics, right? I'm a first-generation Mexican-American. My family didn't do that. So I think it's just learning that it's not something that's only for a certain group of people.
In Dallas, the Latino Center for Leadership Development is trying to help people like Sandoval who didn't grow up around politics. It's the second year for the program. It's a year-long fellowship, and most of the fellows are Latinos. At quarterly meetings, the fellows learn how to run for office, how to run a campaign, how to fundraise, and once they get into office, how they can be successful. Gabe Sanchez says this kind of effort is vital for growing a more diverse group of elected officials.
It starts really at the bottom.
Sanchez is a professor at the University of New Mexico and principal at the survey firm Latino Decisions.
A lot of folks will look at the higher level offices and say, you know, what's it going to take to have more Latinos in Congress or more Latino governors? But remember, those folks all start off somewhere, typically much lower on the ballot. So we really need a pool of people to start running for city council, for school board, that will eventually acquire the political skills and the name recognition to be on congressional races, governor races, etc.
Latinos make up nearly 20% of the U.S. population, but only 1% of elected officials in the U.S. are Latino, according to the Latino Victory Project. Cesar Blanco represents El Paso in the Texas House of Representatives.
So that's a huge problem for us, because if you're not at the policy decision-making table, you're the lunch.
That's one of the reasons why the Latino Center for Leadership Development set up its academy. After Sandoval went through the training, she ran for city council in her hometown of Cockrell Hill, and she won. She's one of three Latinos on the council, and half of the council is Latino. In Cockrell Hill, about 85% of residents are Latino. Cockrell Hill's council reflects the city's diversity more so than other elected groups in North Texas. Grand Prairie and Irving are both more than 40% Hispanic, but there are no Latinos on either city council. Dallas is also 40% Hispanic, and 2 of 14 council seats are occupied by Latinos. And in Fort Worth? Well,
I'm the only Hispanic on the city council in a city that is 34% Latino.
That's council member Sal Espino.
So we need more folks, diverse folks on the council. I think a Hispanic candidate can run in any council district and be a good candidate, he or she. But in the whole history forward, they only had 3 Latinos on the council, all from Council District 2.
There are several reasons why there aren't more Latinos running for office. Espino says it comes down to education. Latinos need to learn more about how politics work. Another reason? Money. Sanchez, the New Mexico professor, says the Citizens United Supreme Court case changed the game. The 2010 ruling said it's okay for corporations and unions to spend as much money as they want on political ads, as long as they don't coordinate with campaigns.
It's not just Congress or statewide offices like governor or lieutenant governor that require financial resources. Even thinking about running for county commission, running for state representative, you know, those races are becoming expensive. And so that really requires a Latino to look at the mirror and say, you know, how can I fundraise? Who in my network can provide resources for my campaign? And I think that closes the door for a lot of folks who might be great candidates who just don't see themselves being able to raise enough money.
That's one of the issues Claudia Sandoval faced when running for her city council seat. She had no idea where the money was going to come from, but being in the Leadership Academy and around other people with similar interests was a big help and pushed her.
It was awesome to be able to go through your first time running with 3 other people who were going through the exact same thing, because we would text each other like, hey, your campaign finance report is due, you know, in 2 days. So we were going through the same things, which was so nice to have just that support and bounce ideas off each other.
Sandoval's gotten a taste for politics. For now, though, she doesn't plan on running for higher office. She's happy staying in community politics and serving her hometown. Carlos Contreras, KURA News.
Should be cloudy skies tonight, a 50% chance for storms with a low around 60. Tomorrow, cloudy, 30% chance rain with a high near 70. And tomorrow night, much of the same, mostly cloudy, 30% chance of showers, low around 58. It's currently 66 degrees in Dallas and Fort Worth, 70 in Tyler, and 66 in Wichita Falls. At 6:30, this is KURA News.